Okay, we have here a very interesting, is that Sipurnu has an understanding in the Cheta Ego, a little different than Rashi in some points. And so I have here the Sipurnu, and there's a Perish on the Sipurnu on the side, one of the Svarim we have, by someone by the name is Rav Yehuda Cooperman. I'm pretty sure those are in Eretz Yisrael. That's Zavdi's brother-in-law. So we say, what it means to say is that it's a modern person, so I reserve the right to disagree if necessary. Now, this is one point I want to disagree on, and one point is very helpful, so we'll put him here. Anyway, but let's read through the Sipurnu. What happened is, leaving how it happened, the ego is built. So comes along Aaron, who obviously doesn't want them doing the Avodah Zarah, and he says, Vayikra Aaron Vayomar, Hag Lashem Mocher. So the way Rashi learned Pshat, that the word Hashem here, he meant the ego, because they were serving the ego they thought the ego was the Navi of Hashem. So Chag Lashem Mocher means that's where we're going to serve the ego. And the kunz of Aaron was that he said Mocher just to delay it a day. And he was hoping that meanwhile Moshe would come down. But the Sipurna learns different. He learns Chag Lashem, the word Hashem apparently means Hashem, means Bidol to Arvu Simchoso. In other words, it's Chag Lashem, so we can't go ahead and make a party for the ego. You're going to confuse. This is what he says on the side. It's very nice. Hashem, 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 Ben Arba Oisis. Means that's the real Hashem. El Acher, that's they said, Edo, Edo, Israel. You know, when they said about the ego, they called it the God. So he's saying that what Aaron was saying is that we have the real Hashem, and there's a chag, there's a new yontif. You didn't know about this. People, you didn't know, but there's a yontif planned for tomorrow, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, and obviously, it's not right to celebrate two gods at the same time. So we have to delay the celebration of the ego till after Mocher. And that already was a very good plan, because Moshe was already going to come down by Mocher, or by after Mocher. You know, in the middle of Mocher, Moshe was due to come down. It was whatever, they made a miscalculation by a day. So Aaron's plan, according to the Sipurnu, is a very good plan. He said, listen, Mocher is Chag Lashem. We can't mix, two gods worship at the same time. It contradicts each other. So Edom, I will have to delay the ego for later. Okay. What happened? So it doesn't say in the Sipurnu, but he says, and apparently this is what happened. If you look in Rav Cooperman in number 18, he's saying this later, because the very next pasuk after Aaron said Chag Lashem Mocher, it says Vayashkimu Mimocheres. They woke up in the morning. Vayalu Oiros Yagishu Shlamim. So the way he reads it, and it seems this sounds like from the Sipurnu, it says in 18, they woke up in the morning, and Aaron said, there's a Chag Lashem, so they made it to Hashem. But once they were ready in this festive mood, so it went ahead and it continued into the ego. V'mkein kviyas ha-chag adei Aaron, af l'shem shemayim, goras ha-mavet l'yuchad ha-zitko. In other words, it's a very interesting thing, and that's pretty clearly from this report later, that Aaron had this brilliant plan, that he's going to tell them, we can't celebrate the ego because tomorrow is Chag Lashem. So he made up a new yontif, and he thought that would, fakir, they would tell him they can't go ahead and celebrate the ego. But it backfired because they got into the mood of festives, of making a big party. And once they were in the party mood, So then they went ahead and they ended up going ahead and celebrating the Egel too, which is definitely a Musa Shmuz, which we, you know, maybe we should have said that one before Purim, about how you have to be careful that even if you're making a party for Hashem, and his mom is Shem Shemayim, but once you get into the certain mood, you can forget why you're doing what you're doing, and you can do the exact opposite, right? It's definitely shmooze. You know, there's, Aaron's telling him, we can't have a party for the ego now because we're going to have a party for Hashem, and the party for Hashem and the party for the ego are in two steers. You can't mix two parties together. You can't, two gods, two parties for two gods. So his whole point to making the yontif for Hashem was that it'd be self-understood that we can't do the celebrate the ego. And pump, in reality, the celebrating of Hashem is gufa, what caused them to celebrate the ego. Because first, they got into the mood of partying. And once you're partying, you party. Okay, so that's definitely, you know, a pre-Purim shmooze. You have the carefulness of once you're partying to make sure it doesn't cross the lines. Okay. Next, what happened is keeping on reading the Sipurnu. So Moshe came down and he saw the ego and Mechadis, and he saw that they were partying, the music, whatever. So it says that he broke the luchas. I'm assuming he's learning the Purnu. They didn't break it from anger, but he broke it. It sounds like when you read the Sipurnu that he broke it from logic. It's pretty clear from the Sipurnu. Because we don't start when I say Moshe just lost his temper and broke the luchas. That would be like a terrible thing. Moshe got lost control. He got angry, so he broke the luchas. No. So he says, Kishiroa shoyes mechem mekilko shasu. He saw that they were happy for the aveira that they did. And there's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, which I can't really read so well, but that's basically what it means. He says on the side, that's what it means. Also, that, you know, in the number 13, Kishatim oivim aveira tefech. When you're doing aveira, you're happy, okay? Well, Bezeh is katef. He got angry at them. Vinoash. And basically, he gave up. Shayugo liklon hamuvas. That now it's no hope. But Oven Shiaksu to Muslim, they won't be able to come back to where they were. So he broke the luchas because he, till now, when Hashem told them that they did the ego, okay, there's no reason to break the luchas. Because, okay, they did an aveira. There's always tshuva. Person can do tshuva on any aveira. But, and therefore, there's no purpose to, you don't have to break the luchas. You just go down, have them do tshuva, and they'll come back. But now that he saw that they were parting, so once they're parting, so then he knew us. He gave up. There's no return. You can't come back that they'll be able to return to Musam. I mean, it could be that tshuva for the Aveira they'll be, but as far as their midos, their personality, they'll never be able to get back to where they were. And therefore, he went ahead and he broke the luchas. Okay. Then he goes down this, and skipping to Chaf Awif, he went ahead and he said to Aaron, Hey, Vesalav Chata Gedaira. He says, what did you do to Klai Yisrael? What was the Chata Gedaira? Said you caused them to have this celebration. In other words, that because it was you, no one asked you to make this yontif for Hashem. You figured out this eitzah to make this yontif, and that's what caused them to celebrate the avodah zarah. Bizehu ram in apesh of amered shasav ego. In other words, the ego was pesh amered. That's what I said before, I think, use those terms, that the ego was Peshemer, but this is worse. He's learning it's like the worst level. Came to say the Shoshas Remidus. We say, Ava Peshem Vachata. Right? So the implication is Chata is the worst. So there's always this, and it's Siv, explains different shot, but he's learning Chata is the worst. Became it's filasenu shasakta avenu chatasenu. L'chein amar, so Moshe said to Yeshua, af al pishenikalu alev achrikon asos ego. In other words, they went ahead and they forced you to build the ego. And that, you had no choice. And so that's excusable, that you built the ego. But ma'osula, but they didn't force you, shesrakta dekvonem chag biyom shimokris. This idea of making a yontif, that was your own idea. No one even, they didn't push you. That was your own. And that caused, and that yontif that you made caused the parting for the mechaylos, for the blowing the musical instrument, for the ego, that was worse, worse than building it. So he's saying that the pshat in the last pasuk is that Moshe is trying to Yeshua. Okay, I understand. Moshe is trying to Aaron. I'm sorry. I understand that you built the ego. It was pikuach nefesh. You didn't want them to be nitsho. Otherwise, they would have killed you. This is a medrash. And then it will be another aver for Klal Yisrael. So you didn't want Klal Yisrael to be over aver and they're killing. They killed Khor. So you felt you had to build the ego. But this idea of making the party, that was your own einfau. No one forced you. And that caused a tremendous problem because that's what caused that they made a mechaydos. Mechaydos means a musical instrument for the ego. And that all came about because of you. And this was a chata gedayla, which he said was worse than the ego. He said at the end, shezois oisa sibas ha-mechaydos, shehozas in rego, shehoisa ruah mi-asiyasa. This was worse than making the ego. And that's why it's also called chata gedayla. You caused a chata gedayla. Okay, so here's where there's a little machlokes between myself and this parish. Why is a machlokes called chata gedayla? Why is a machlokes worse than making the ego? So Rav Cooperman says that it's that kaf awif is a continuation of yutes. That, you know, there's, since he says in yutes that when you make the party, so somehow that, like, Musar Bespivis, it knocks it into your personality, and now you can change. You can do tshuva, you can drop it. But once you do it with the party, then it's very hard to change. So that's why he's calling it a chata gedayla. If you look at number 17, Arish chata gedayla he oisa avera bebechinas muva. So you got it gone. It's an avera that you can't fix. The mikra dinan avera meleya uhula b'simcha. In other words, it says with simcha, so therefore they can't fix. It says again at 22, pasher mana esef sharas hatshuva, 22 aleph. In other words, since you can't do tshuva, because that's why does he say at the end that it's rami asiyaso? Because you can't do tshuva. Okay, I did not think that was mashma in the lashon at all. I thought that it's, you read it, Kipshuto, he's saying that the Kaf Aleph and Yutas have nothing to do with each other. They're two separate things. In Yutas, he's explaining why Moshe broke the Lukas. He didn't break the Lukas when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him they did the Avera. So what happened later? Teretz is because he saw the party. And that party makes it that you, Moshe realized that they can't have Tikkun, because it's like Musar B'Spaydus to knock it into their being. And therefore he broke the Lukas. But Chaf Awif is just going on a different point, not why he broke the luchas, but why he called it a chata gedayla. And he's saying, you, Aaron, caused a chata gedayla. And he has to say that this was worse than the ego, than making the ego, because making the ego wasn't Aaron's fault, because that he was forced into. So that has nothing to do with the fact that it's you can't go ahead and fix it. That's because be'etzem, when you do an aveira b'simcha, it's a much, much worse aveira. The simcha adds tremendously to the chomer of the aveira. That's what I think. That's what it sounds pretty much to me, pretty clearly. That in chaval, he's saying nothing to do about the whether you're tikkun. That was your test. But just now that the chomer shesiba samachoda shosin a simcha saego, having this simcha shoisa raw, that's worse than asiyaso. That's worse than making it. Okay. So I think there's a few very, very big chidushim here. Working backwards, starting from the bottom up. The last Yiporno, especially the way I read it, is a tremendous chidush. Just reading those words, that doing the simcha se'ego hoisa ruah mi'asiyaso, which means that when they built the ego, they did an Avera from 1 to 10. They went to 10. But when they did the Mechoiles, they went from 10 to 100, so to speak. So the Ra of the Mechoiles was much worse than the Ra of building the ego. If you would ask any logical person, it doesn't make sense. Building the ego is making the Avodah Zarah. Right? Before they had no Avodah Zarah, and now they go ahead and they make an Avodah Zarah. And they're worshiping the Avodah. They just make it. They made it and they worshiped it. That was what that Aaron had no choice. They pressured Aaron to doing it. They built it and they're worshiping it. Now, what did Aaron do? He made a party for Hashem, and because they're in the party mood, so they're partying also, they're playing the music, whatever, so they're partying for the ego too. Where does it say in the Torah you're not allowed to play music for an ego? I don't know. Is there a pasuk anywhere? You're not allowed to play music? Okay, I understand it's not right, but if you would have asked me, building an Avodah Zarah and worshiping the Avodah Zarah, that's a big Aveira. Making the music, that's the hither, you know. That's the extra, that's the whipped cream on the Aveira. Okay, so there was an extra thing that because of you, Aaron, they added the whipped cream. But to say that the whipped cream is more chomer than the actual Aveira, it sounds so bizarre. But that's what he says. That when it comes to chomer Aveira, if you just do the Aveira, you build Avodah Zarah from scratch. You have no Avodah Zarah, and you go ahead, right? You're at Har Sinai. There's no Avodah Zarah. You just finished listening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Aseres HaDibros. And you go ahead and you build yourself an Avodah Zarah, and you worship Avodah Zarah. Okay. But then you go ahead and you're playing the music and you're dancing. Woo! That's much, much worse. Right? So it's a chiddush in Chomer Aveira that the simcha in the Aveira is much more severe than the Etzem Aveira. And I'm sure its flip side will be the same with a mitzvah. Person does a mitzvah, and then someone or two people do a mitzvah. One person does a mitzvah, because you always like to say it in a positive sense. One person does a mitzvah, and he doesn't do a dance with the mitzvah. And the other person, he does the exact same mitzvah, and he also goes in and he plays the mechilas and he's dancing when he's doing the mitzvah. Say, okay, he's a memor mehuder, zekeiriv anveyu, whatever. No. The simcha is greater than the mitzvah. He got more than double. This is much greater. Because the simcha, what the Sipurna says, the simcha of an aveira is greater than the aveira, and the simcha of a mitzvah, vice versa, be greater than the mitzvah. Okay, so that's time of hashkafa. Hashkafa, that's very important. Actually, Sfarim do say that. That when you add simcha, the schar for simcha on a mitzvah, it's a chsam sefer says it before somewhere, that the schar of a simcha is greater than the schar of the mitzvah itself. So that's what it seems Sipurna is saying it. It's earlier than the chsam sefer, when it comes to an aveiris, that the einesh of the simcha for an aveira, not that they did more avodah zarah, it doesn't say they did more, they just, they're mechaydes. Mechaydes is not a form of avodah zarah. They're dancing, they're singing, they're playing music. But that is more chamur than the Avodah Zarah itself. Going back to Yud Tes, I think is a tremendous chiddush, and it's that's much more, even more nogea to us, is that what does it say in Yud Tes? That once they had the party, that once they danced, they celebrated, then they can't be misakein. Why can't you do sakein? It's tshuva. Everyone knows it's tshuva. Right? We believe very strongly that there's no aveira in the world that you can't do tshuva on. It's a very big yisayin, and it's written in many, many svarim. You can do the worst aveiras. You can kill a million people. Right? There's no such thing as an aveira that you can't do tshuva on. No such thing. No matter how bad you think you are. I dropped an atom bomb. I killed a million people. It's tshuva. Right? Tshuva. So what does he mean? But what it sounds like, he's not talking about tshuva. He's talking about sheyoko litlal ma'uvas sheyakser the tumaso. There's the two things. There's tshuva, you get rid of the aveira, but there's getting back to where you were. It seems what Sipurna is saying is that once you party for the aveira, then it becomes part of your being. So it's an amazing limud in Musar B'Spaitis. You know, we're trying to do Musar B'Spaitis. And the whole goal of Musar B'Spaitis and Musar is to go ahead and take what we believe and move it into our heart. And here comes the Sipurnu, and he says that you want to know the best way. I don't know the best way, but a way which is that moves something from your brain to your heart to the point that once it's moved, then it's impossible. Nuash, Moshe Rabbeinu gives up. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't have the kayach anymore, right? When there's pashas, you're amazing. Why can't Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, the whole reason why they served the ego is because they thought Moshe's dead. So now Moshe comes back, he's alive. You would think that he can very easily undo it. No. Once they went, if they wouldn't have partied, then yeah, Moshe could come down, straighten out the mistake. So you made an intellectual mistake. You thought I was dead. I'm not dead. I'm alive. Okay, very fine. We'll do tshuva. We're back to where we were. But once they partied, Moshe Rabbeinu, with all his power, and then obviously they show them they made a mistake and whatever. No, can't fix it. So what that basically means, that the parting is such a deep method of knocking it into your heart that it's almost, you can use all the intellectual, you know, machinery to, but you can't change your heart. Once you partied, it becomes part of your being. And I don't want to say it's impossible, because we don't like to say that, but it's command impossible. It's Moshe Rabbeinu gave up. They can't get back to their level. So we might as well just break the luchas. Now, eventually, they did get a new luchas. I don't know. So maybe the second luchas were different than the first luchas. I don't know. But the Maisa, it's a very, very, I think the second, this is, I think, for us, practically speaking, the most practical, it is that when we want to work on knocking things into our being, when you have a Purim, and we're being happy, and we're celebrating, we're making a party, we have to make the party to appreciate the you know, we're celebrating the Baruch Shalom Asani Goy, and that we made it, that it's good to be a Jew, and right, everything else, all the other songs, and to really feel it. And then it knocks it into your feeling. And once you can, that's so much deeper than just intellectual. You can go all the intellectual proofs, but when you mamish, celebrate the simcha, and you physically, and you go out and do an action of simcha on a certain feeling, then it makes it so part of you that you can almost, you can never lose it. It's almost impossible to lose. So that, to the point that even Moshe Rabbeinu, when all, you know, and all the intellectual proofs, that's it, it's part of you. So as a lesson, I think it's a very practical thing that we have to, the whole essence that we learn Musar is we want to go in and knock things into us. This is a wonderful Eitzah, to knock things into us sometimes, a certain amount. Doesn't say anything about drinking here, but it says, you know, partying. But okay. Going up to the first Sipurnu is, I think, also a tremendous chiddush. Is it comes out an amazing thing that Aaron went ahead and did this. He had no reason to do what he did. The only reason why he did what he did, he made up this yontif, is because he thought it was going to save Bnei Yisrael from doing an aveira, and it ended up having the opposite effect of what he was trying to do. He was trying to stop them, that they shouldn't. You know, he's trying to stop the simcha, and instead he caused more. So he caused the very thing that he was trying to stop. He caused. Right? He was trying to stop that they should celebrate, and he caused them to celebrate. So it's a very fascinating thing. And Aaron is not a schlepper, right? Aaron's a very smart person. And he's trying to shame Shemayim, and he knows this is life and death. And he makes a mistake. And the thing that he's trying to do, he does just the opposite. So there's a few shmuzim on that. First of all, that it's shy, such a thing. People can make a mistake, and you're trying to do, you're setting your goal to accomplish something, and you're working, and you're planning, and you're plotting, and you instead, because you make a mistake, you can do just the exact opposite. And there's no negiah. It's not like usually when a person makes a mistake, we say, oh, he had a negiah. There's no negiah. Aaron has no negiah here. It's only negiah is to save Klai Yisrael from doing this avera of parting from the Avodah Zarah. And yet he did the exact opposite. And this also what's amazing is it's such a tzvi on him. Why should there be a tianim? He was a shem shamayim. He was trying to be good. Apparently, that's not an excuse. Being a shem shamayim, it's a very scary chazal, that you can be totally a shem shamayim. You have no negia. You're only trying to stop people from doing averis. And the only reason why Aaron stuck his neck out to do what he did is to help people to do averis. And yet, he blew it. And he got a... In many Svarim, it said this was Aaron's worst avera. It says in the Svarim that the... not sure everyone agrees with everything, but Pashtus, it says that the Nadav Aviyah died. You know, so they had their own avera. But why did Aaron deserve to have two of his children die? It said because he did because of the ego. And I think Rashi says there that Moshe, he was really supposed to have all his children died. It's just that Moshe was mispado, so tefillah helped for chetzia, so he got only half his children died. So Aaron has this extremely chomer dik avera, which was done totally by accident, because trying to do the exact opposite. So it's a to hear in how careful a person has to be, not to rely just on the fact that my intentions are good. You can have the best intentions, and you can sometimes do the exact opposite of what you're trying to do, even though you're brilliant, and even though you're highly motivated, and you're totally the shem shamayim, and totally the shema, you can still, a human being can make a mistake, and he can do the exact opposite. And if that does happen, you can't just excuse yourself and say, well, I tried my best. Well, it's not an excuse. I mean, if you really tried your best, you would be excused. But probably a sharp shot has to be that Aaron could have thought more. And Aaron was expected to realize what was supposed to happen, and he didn't realize it. So that's a tefillah. So it shows that we can't just rely on the fact that we have good intentions, but it's shy. But good intentions is not guaranteed that we won't do serious averis, and we could do the exact opposite of what we started. Okay. So just to summarize, so we have four different chidushim. The first chidush, what we said in the beginning, is that it's possible that a simcha, which is totally the shem shamayim, can be hijacked and can bring about a simcha, which is for avodah zarah. Second chiddush, is going from the bottom up, is that the worse than the avera of doing avodah zarah is the avera being happy, and it's done by every single avera in the world, no matter how chomer the avera is. The happiness, celebrating the avera, is worse, and the same thing is probably true by mitzvahs. Celebrating the mitzvah is greater than the mitzvah itself. Third thing is that once you celebrate something, it becomes part of your essence, your brain, your state of mind. This is an amazing etzah of making, you know, musar bispaitis, of making things part of our being. And the fourth chiddush is that a person with absolutely no negiyas, and even he's trying to do the shem shamayim, can, if he's not careful, super, super careful with the nth degree, because I'm sure Aaron was very careful, he can achas v'shalom do just the opposite, and there will be a tremendous tefillah on him, because you're obligated to be careful. Okay.